think we're gonna try to get through them both. So. You have both of them? Okay. All right, we've been talking about in Sunday school when I'm here and whoever does it when I'm not here or whoever's been doing it. I'm pretty sure we've been, you know what? I think this is on. Can you turn off? Do you know which one the main mic is? Never mind, don't worry about it. So. Okay. We've been talking about the names of God that's found throughout the Bible. The different things that he's called and what they mean and the meanings behind them. Today, there's two different names here. The first one, the first lesson we're going to do is the Jehovah Rahi. And that's the one with the text at the top is Psalms 23, 1 through 3. I'm actually going to turn there and read that. It says in Psalms, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And that's a pretty well-known psalm, a pretty well-known passage of scripture from the Bible. A lot of people have memorized that, and you hear it quoted many times in many different places. But right in this passage here, it talks about the Lord is my shepherd. Now, we've already talked about, and we'll go through here. We'll start right here. It says, David is testifying that Jehovah God is his shepherd. Now, in all the lessons past, in all these names of God, that begins with the word Jehovah. And the word translated Lord is, as we've already learned, Jehovah is one of the primary names of God in the Old Testament. All these names, if we've looked over Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Emkadesh, Jehovah Jireh, all these names of God have that prefix or that first portion of the name Jehovah included, and that's being translated Lord here. According to Thomas Newberry's word study, the name Jehovah combines three tenses of the Hebrew verb to be. Yehi, he will be, the future. Hove, being the present. And Haya, he was, the past. So the three different tenses of the verb form to be, how this word was put together was they took the primary letters of the first word there, Yehi, and the middle two letters of Hove and the last two letters of Haya, and we have Jehovah. So pretty much the word itself, even though we attribute it to its translated Lord, the word itself, the makeup of the word, is actually describing God as the one who is, was, and always will be, the eternal one. And it's interesting that, you know, you can look through the Bible and see this kind of stuff. Things just don't happen by accident. It's just not, oh, well, that's a neat coincidence. God's a very organized, very particular, very meticulous God. And he doesn't just throw things together. He doesn't just at the last minute. If you look throughout the Bible, the whole Bible, there's no other book known to man that fits together like the Bible does. It doesn't contradict one another. Written throughout thousands of years it took to write the Bible by so many different types of men and so many different men, and yet it all fits perfectly together. There's no accidents with God. And just taking that just that small, just the, how Jehovah was put together, just that small little bit of information, you know, it should make you just think, you know, there's a lot of things in my life, there's a lot of things that I don't understand, or I don't see what's going to happen or what's going on, but you know what, I have a God who is he knows what's going on, he's meticulous, and you can see that in the way his names are described in the Bible. I mean, you see what a great God we have. I mean, you can look through and see what all the names mean, but just the fact that he's taken that name, Jehovah, and that word itself describes God as the Eternal One. Roeh, the primary meaning of this word is to feed or lead to pasture, as shepherd does his flock. Now, back in this time in the Psalms, David was a shepherd, so he was writing about things that God had him write about things that he knew about, and something that the Israelites back then could relate to as being a shepherd. And that's what the primary meaning of this word is, to feed or lead to pasture, as a shepherd does his flock. The incident that brings about this revelation of God is the name Jehovah Rahe is really the result of experiences of God's people on their pilgrimage to the promises of God. God has been revealing himself to his people throughout each of their experiences in a very definite and divine order. So, and then in the lesson here, it goes on to kind of rehash or re-go over some of the names that we've already discussed. Elohim, the creator, ruler of mankind. Again, Jehovah, that term there, just that term, the absolute self-existing one, the God of salvation. El Shaddai, God Almighty. Adonai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. All these different names and what they describe, the description that's given to them, describes each different part of God. But when you put all that together, why does he have so many different titles? It's because he gives us this in his word as a way of guiding us and leading us and showing us what he's capable of, and that as the shepherd, and as the shepherd that we see here, Jehovah Rohi, he is capable of leading us and bringing us to anything and protecting us and being that that guide there that's all that we need. Now, I mean, this in this. Let me throw this one up here. So you go through all those names. You can look up the verses. But if you've been here in Sunday school, you've gone over most of these names. It's taken a week or so to go over each one of these, so I'll just go to the next part. But it says the people of God have learned much about God, who God is, and they have seen the Lord as great in life, in healing, in victory, in holiness, in peace, and in protection. But they're still pilgrims in need of divine direction and provision on the journey. So God gave them laws, God gave them judges, God gave them kings and prophets to tell them what the principles and what they should do and how they should act. But he just didn't give them that and say, okay, there's your book of rules. Go on, see what you can do. No, God, our God, Jehovah Rohi, is a God that not only gives us those principles, but he's there with us. He's there to help guide us to where we need to go. Help us to understand those principles. Help us to understand the things that we need to do. I used to work at Best Buy, and I had a lot of people coming in, and I worked in the different departments, but there was the camera department, the digital camera department. Now, who still uses a film camera? Nobody uses a film camera anymore. I mean, but when you get into it, you can spend $100 on a camera, you can spend $600 on a camera. And you got people coming in, and they buy all different sorts of stuff. A lot of people are coming in and buying stuff that, you know, they don't know. They've used a film camera their whole life, and they're going to get into this new thing. And so they buy a camera, and all they want to do, I just want one that takes pictures. Well, you can do that. You know, you can just buy a camera, and you can take pictures with it. But there's a lot of extra things that you can do with, depending on what camera you get. Most people don't really use them. That's why the cameras or whatever, whether it comes in on a CD or it comes as a link to a website, or it comes in the more expensive cameras, a whole book of features and different things that you can use, and instructions, and how to change the battery, and how to clean the camera, and how to maintain it, and the different uses that you have for it. You get a manual that comes with it, whether it's an electronic manual or in a book form. There's some sort of manual that comes with it, and you can read that manual, you can study that manual, and you can become pretty proficient in using the camera that you buy. However, God didn't just give us the manual. I mean, He did give us the manual. We have the Word of God, and He's given to us and set it down, and it's been given to us, and we can read, and we can see the principles, and we can see the things that He's laid out for us, and we can live our life according to the Bible and have success. But that's not all that He's done. He just didn't give us the camera. He just didn't give us our life and give us the manual, the Bible, and say, there you go. You know, I hope you figure out how to become a photographer. No, He's done so much more than that. It'd be like having the guy who invented that camera, who put that camera together and wrote the manual, come to your home and teach you how to use that camera. That's the access that we have in Jehovah Rapha, the shepherd. It's not just somebody who tells us what to do, but someone who's there and willing to lead us and to show us how it needs to be done. And to take that manual and make it alive and make it real to us and help us in our life to follow those principles. It's like bringing that camera designer home with us, and when we have a question, instead of only consulting the manual, we can go to the man who created the camera and say, you know, could you help me understand? Because the truth is you can read all the manuals you want, but sometimes you just don't understand what they're saying, and you can't figure it out. And sometimes you need someone to help you to explain. And that's what God has done for us, and that's what this name shows, that He's a shepherd, that He's not only there to protect us, but He's there to lead and guide us in what we need. It says, these people know shepherding. Again, like what David wrote about here is shepherding. He was a shepherd. They know sheep. They know the responsibility of the shepherd and the needs of the sheep. David was a shepherd. He knew the heart of the message that the Holy Spirit was convincing him to pen. What a description of this attribute of God. Literally, the God who leads and the God who feeds. It means to care for the sheep of His fold. And then it gives some verses here that you can look up, describing different parts of as far as being a shepherd, what God has done. The Lord is the feeder, to provide, to keep, to protect, cheer, friend to help, pastor, comfort, herdsman, the shepherd to lead. And the Hebrew word, actually there's the Hebrew word that's translated into English. There's not much to write down in this one, so. The Hebrew word is translated in English as shepherd, which occurs about 80 times in the Bible. The same word is often used in the Hebrew is also translated pastor. In the New Testament, the Greek word poimen is shepherd. In the Old Testament, the priests, prophets, and kings were referred to as pastors or under shepherds, leaders of God's people. And I'm going to just read one verse in Jeremiah, the first one there, Jeremiah 3:15. It says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with the knowledge and knowledge and understanding." So God promises in this verse and many other verses that He's going to, and He gave them to the Israelites. He gave them, like the word is translated, He gave them kings, He gave them prophets, He gave them priests to help them and lead them in the way that it should go. And He gives those type of people to us as well. He gives us pastors and different people in position that to help us and to guide us in the principles and the truths of God. Under shepherds, Pastor Cole is a shepherd. He's a shepherd that will help and lead us and bring us to the things of God. However, the title here, Jehovah Rohi, is the title refers to those who have authority over them and willing to care for the entrusted of them. I'm sorry, that was in the last paragraph. But the Jehovah Rohi is shepherd. It's not our shepherd, but the shepherd. He will lead and He will guide. He will direct. And where God guides, He provides because He is the shepherd. Again, going back to the illustration of the camera. Now, it would be helpful if you go to buy a camera and you get the manual and maybe one of the Best Buy employees could come, you know, and explain things to you. Or you could go to a class, and in the employee, you know, sometimes they have teaching classes or you can learn. Or if the employee came home with you and came and sat in your room and showed you how to use it. I mean, you could learn a lot more from necessarily following it. They would be able to help you understand the manual a little bit better. But it would be, you know, like, he didn't make the camera, and he probably only got hired by Best Buy a month ago, and he probably is making up half the stuff that he's telling you. I know because I used to work there. And as long as you just phone smart, you know, most people believe you. But you can get some help from that, but he's an under-shepherd. He didn't design the camera. He didn't make the camera. He didn't write the manual. But he can be there to help you. And those are like the under-shepherds that God has given to us, as in pastors and missionaries and evangelists, are those that can help us. But they didn't write the manual. They didn't create you. Not only has God given us those under-shepherds, but he himself is the shepherd. The shepherd that you can go to that knows all the intricacies of his plan and knows the design, knows how things work when they work perfectly, and he'll use that Best Buy employee or he'll use that under-shepherd to help lead and guide you, but he also wants to be a part of that. When you read your Bible, he also wants to be right there. That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit, to lead and guide and to reveal things to us as we read his Word, is because he is the shepherd who will lead us. And that is the type of God. That's what this name of God describes. David affirms the fact the shepherd is his shepherd. Here we have a personal pronoun of possession. Jehovah is my shepherd, he says in Psalms. Jehovah is the shepherd of Israel, but he must also be made a personal shepherd. Sorry. And God wants you to make things personal with him. And he throughout the whole Bible, we see that God wants to be a personal savior, to be a personal guide, to be a personal shepherd. He just doesn't want to be somebody that you come to church on in the week and you listen to pastor preach about and you know is there. He wants to be your savior. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to be that designer that comes home and lives and dwells with you. And anytime you have a question, you can go to him and ask. And anytime you have a worry or a decision that needs to be made, He would be right there to help you along and lead you in that decision. He wants to be your shepherd, not just a shepherd, not just someone else's shepherd, but he wants to be your shepherd. You got to make it a personal shepherd. And there is a vital connection between Psalms 22 and Psalms 23. In Psalms 22, he's a psalm of the Savior, the Calvary psalm. Psalm 23 is the psalm of the shepherd, rod and staff. So yes, he died for everybody, and he's willing to save everyone that accepts that gift. But that Psalms 23 shows that he wants to be a personal savior. He wants to be a personal shepherd, a personal guide in your everyday life. And we need to take that and realize that we have that in God. We don't have a God that's just a statue that we go and worship and pray to that doesn't hear us. We have a God that lives and dwells in us and wants to be that personal guide, personal shepherd, to help us to understand the manual, to help us to make the right decisions. And not only has he given us under-shepherds to do that, but he himself wants to be that guide. And that's what we see there in that name. All right, and then we'll go on to the last lesson here. I don't know if this is the last lesson, but it seems like it's close because there's some review at the end here. But the other lesson is Jehovah Shammah. And this is Ezekiel 48:35. It was around about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be called The Lord Is There. Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah is there. That's just what it means. The Lord is there. Shammah means presence, location, dwelling, or abode. The very presence of God with his people. And again, this goes hand in hand with the last lesson. We have a shepherd who wants to lead us, who wants to guide us. And right here, this next attribute, the next name of God is Jehovah is there. He's there with us. His presence, his dwelling place, his abode. Ezekiel's prophecy of one day renewed glory to the house of Israel is culminated with the glorious message of the return to Israel, of the presence of Jehovah God, and great rejoicing. That's in the promise. That was included in one of the promises. The promise of the return to Israel and the promise of the presence of God. The most important is God's presence. People substitute the place of God for the presence of God. And that happens, that really happens all the time, even now in Christianity. You substitute, going to church. I'm in church. I'm in the house of God. But we don't really care about the presence of God because nobody, it's not as evident to other people around us whether or not we have the presence of God. Now it can be, but you could say you read your Bible, you pray, or you do all you want. You can say there's nobody except maybe your spouse that sees whether you really do that. Nobody except maybe your spouse or those close to you, your children, that know whether you really have the presence of God. And even then, it's just indications. They don't know. Nobody can see your heart. But, they can see you in the place of God. They can see you doing the things of God. But so many times in Christianity, we get caught up in, I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But we don't really care why we're doing it, or we don't seek the presence of God while we're doing it. And that's the most important thing. This promise to the Israelites to return to Israel, and this was a great promise that they looked forward to, also included that promise was the Lord is there. The presence of God will be there. That's the great thing about the promise. I mean, we think of the promise of heaven, and we think of, one day we'll be in heaven and we'll live there eternally, and that's a great promise that God has given us. Jesus Christ spoke about in the New Testament that he's going to prepare a place for us, and that's a great promise that we have. But the greatest thing about that promise is not necessarily there's golden streets or there's mansions or even the fact that, there'll be no heartache over there. Those are all great, wonderful things, but the greatest thing about heaven is the presence of God, is the presence that we get to spend with God for eternity. And that's the promise. That's the great thing about the promise. And so many times we see in the Bible and we see in our own lives that the Israelites, and we forget about that. We get focused on, I got to be this place because that's just what I'm supposed to do. And we forget about seeking the presence of God in what we do. Ezekiel, in this text, Ezekiel is concluding his ministry. He's wrapping up the final chapter of the work Jehovah God called him to do. 25 years previous, Ezekiel prophesied the demise of the nation, the captivity, destruction, and discouragement. Ezekiel warned the people of their idolatry and the impending judgment. He says, but God, Jehovah again, comes with the healing in his wings. Restoration is not. Jehovah Shammah is promise. God's presence will again dwell among his people. Prophecy of the New Jerusalem, God's promise of his people, not only a place, but his presence. And a little bit of review here. Elohim reveals him as not only creator and ruler, but also covenanting to preserve his creation. So he's made a covenant. God makes covenants, and he's not afraid to make covenants. He made a covenant to preserve his creation. He promised Noah that he'd never destroy the earth with a flood again, and he promised Abraham that his seed would turn into a great nation. God has made covenants. He made covenant that Israel would there'd be a new Jerusalem, and he's made covenant to us as believers that have trusted him that one day he'll return again, and one day we'll be with him for eternity. God makes promises, makes covenant. He's a God of promises. He's a God that we can trust his promises, and that name Elohim describes that to us. And his promise is not only that we'll be in heaven one day, but that we'll be with him. Jehovah reveals him in special relationship to man, self-existent, infinite, eternal, so man could receive that truth. And we look at that, the way the word is put together, the word Jehovah describes God as an eternal being, who was and is and always will be. Since the name Jehovah sets God forth in his moral and spiritual attributes, the special relationship between him and his creation, man, made in his image was a moral and spiritual one. So God sets forth his attributes that he puts forward about himself is a moral and spiritual attributes. And that relationship coexists with man, who was a moral and spiritual one. However, that relationship was broken by sin. After that, the name of God compound with Jehovah. So before sin, he's shown as Elohim, God who makes promises, and Jehovah, eternal being. But after sin, he needed to become, he needed to, not that he needed to become, because he always was, but he needed to reveal to man the fact that he was more than only a God of promises or a God, an eternal God, but he was, the reason he was those things, the reason he was a God of promises or an eternal God, is because when we understand that about him, we realize that he is the only being, person, that can fulfill our needs in an eternal and totally complete way, because he is Jehovah. I mean, there might be other things in your life that may satisfy you for a time, and we look here at different names. I'll jump ahead here. But we'll go on here according to the lesson. But they compound with Jehovah, revealing him providing redemption for fallen and sinful man. Jehovah M. Kadesh, and what we talked about a few weeks ago. And every aspect of that great transaction of redemption by which man is fully restored to God. Healing, victory, peace, sanctification, justification, preservation, care and guidance. All these different aspects of God, he needed to reveal to sinful man now, because sinful man needed that. And we might find in our life things that might provide satisfaction for a time or victory over certain things. I mean, just example popped in my head, you know, we look at how many unsaved people, you know, I know of unsaved people in my life who have conquered certain sins or certain bad habits that we consider a sin. And they didn't really do it necessarily with the power of God, because they're not saved, but they were able to get victory over something that they were struggling with. And so there are certain things in their life that may give us for a time to fill some of these, not all of these. There's nothing that's going to justify you other than through Christ. There's nothing that's going to sanctify you other than through Christ. But there are certain things that maybe we could say, well, you know, I found satisfaction in this, or I found victory in this, and it wasn't God. But there is nothing that will complete any or all of these different attributes other than an eternal God, other than Jehovah. And that's why the name is always compounded with Jehovah, because not only is it saying that he can satisfy, or that he can, that he is with us, or that he can heal, but it's not only, but it's Jehovah. It's someone who always was, and always is, and always will be. That's who's doing the healing. That's who's doing the sanctifying. That's who's doing the justifying. And we see that in his names. That's why his names are compounded with Jehovah, because it's there to illustrate that he can satisfy, and yes, he can heal, and he can provide for you, but it's the Almighty One. It's the one who keeps his promise. It's Elohim that's providing for you. It's Elohim that's healing you. And it's Jehovah that sanctified you and justified you and has given you the victory over that sin and wants to be with you and wants to dwell with you and wants to give you his presence. It's not just any old person that wants to do this, but it's Jehovah. It's Elohim. And that's why he compounds his name with the other facets of what he can do. Jehovah Shammah is a promise, pledge, and the completion of that promise. And so this name here is kind of like a summarizing. Like the promise has been made, and he's pledged in this name to give us his presence, and that's the purpose, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The last in the order of the compound names of Jehovah, given in the Old Testament, designates a place, a promise, and a presence by his almighty power. So as we see, it looks like it, I don't know if there's a New Testament study, if this goes on as far as Sunday school. I really only get the lessons a week in advance. So, but what we see here is the concluding of the Old Testament, it seems, the last compound name that is here in the Old Testament, is kind of serves to point back to all the other names that has already been given to say, listen, this is the completion of the promises and everything that's been given throughout the whole Testament. This is a God who makes promises and can keep those promises. And this is a God who wants to sanctify and all the other things that his name describe. But more important than all that He's a God who's with us, and he's a God who does things and wants to give us that presence, and he can do so with his power. And so these two lessons work hand in hand. God is a God who wants to be there to lead and guide you as a good shepherd, as the good shepherd. He wants to be there to take you through the hard times in life, take you through the when you're a teenager and when you're a young adult and marriage and raising children and as you heard Pastor talk about so many times the different areas in your life, the different phases you go through in your life, elderly, old age, and he wants to be there to guide you and lead you as a good shepherd would in every single area. He's not only given us a manual, he's not only given us the instruction book that if we follow, we'll have a successful life, but he's there to help us through and to answer those questions. And when we don't understand something, we can seek his counsel and seek his understanding in different things, and he's there to guide us. And he's there because he wants to give us his presence, and he wants to not just he doesn't want just us to have the promise of one day living in a beautiful place or one day in our life being successful in our life and being what the world calls successful. But he wants us to have the presence of God. He wants us to have his presence. He wants to be there with us through all those different areas in life. And he's willing to. I mean, it's not something we have to, you know, so many times you think, well, it's something I have to beg and I have to beg and I have to beg and I have to beg because, you know, he's so busy or he, you know, I'm so undeserving and he really, you know, I got to beg and I beg him for his presence. God, how many times in the Bible does God have to illustrate that how he desires to be with you? He desires for you to have his presence. He desires to lead you and to guide you in every decision. All you have to do is ask. He's more than willing to be there and help us. He's you know, he's not a God who will help us if he's got time. He's a God that's only got time for us. That's what he's just waiting for us. He's waiting for us to seek for his presence. He's waiting for us to go and to ask him and to lead him as the good shepherd. That's his desire is for us to do that. So let's take advantage of that. Let's look at these names and how he's described in the Bible in the Old Testament as the shepherd and one who gives us his presence and take that and take those promises and benefit from them. Instead of figuring out how to use the camera on your own and making mistakes and spending 4 hours sitting in front of the manual trying to understand, turn next to the guy sitting on the couch who made that camera and said, hey, how do you do this? And he'll explain it to you. That's what we have in a God that gives us these names. And we need to take that and use that and make that real in our lives. And you'll see things open up and you'll become a photographer in no time because you'll become a Christian, a good Christian, and follow those principles in no time because you have the one who wrote the book there with you, leading and guiding you and with his presence with you. So let's pray and we'll dismiss. Father, again, thank you for this day and how you've given us your word and the different names that describe you and how just a great God you are and how you can fulfill every different area in our life and every need that we have. And I thank you for that. Help us to understand that and to take that and to turn to you in times of need and to seek your face and your wisdom. Be with the services this morning, the rest of this morning, this evening. I just pray that you'd help us to listen with open ears. Holy Spirit, move in our hearts, lead and guide us as you promised you would if we asked. And I again thank you for loving us in everything that we do today, that it would honor and glorify you, and ask this in Jesus' name, amen.